There's a reason the Foo Fighters' third drummer turned out to be their last. Even for a musical perfectionist like Dave Grohl, Taylor Hawkins was the perfect fit. Taylor grew up in Orange County and got his big break drumming for Alanis Morissette on her massive two-year Jagged Little Pill tour.
And it just went nuclear, man. It went nuclear.
But it was immediately following the tour that he left to join, at the time, a much smaller band, but one that he instinctually knew would rock. And he was right. For the next 25 years, he would be known as the long-haired, board-short-wearing drummer of one of the world's biggest rock and roll bands, the Foo Fighters, where he's even been known to steal the show from time to time. We caught up with Taylor back in 2014, when he formed a heavy metal side project called Birds of Satan.
Being a musician, having the comfort of the Foo Fighters, is it easier to pursue these projects?
Well, yeah. I mean, obviously, it gives you that cushion because you have this other thing that you do that you make a living doing, you know, and pays the bills quite well. So I get to sort of indulge myself with all my little flights of sort of fancy and my self-indulgent little side projects.
Welcome back to Conspiracy Theories and Unpopular Culture. I'm your host, Isaac Weishaupt. Today we're going to talk about a guy from Foo Fighters. He died. Died mysteriously. He was the drummer to Foo Fighters. Taylor Hawkins was his name. And we're going to talk all about him. This is going to be more of an emergency broadcast. Maybe not the last, right? This might be the first of a multi-show series, as what happens sometimes when celebrities die unexpectedly and far too young. So today we're going to talk about who this guy was, a little bit about the Foo Fighters and their Illuminate Confirm, and then, of course, we're going to get into the idea that Dave Grohl has got some very strange satanic interests that appeared many times. A little bit of predictive programming, if you will. Sadly, right? I don't take joy in talking about these subjects. But I can't help to be the voice for the people who think there's something connected to this spiritual side of life here, that messing around with the dark arts sometimes reaps some bad mojo. You know what I mean? And that includes the idea that, which admittedly sounds a little bit outrageous, but that Dave Grohl, the lead singer from the Foo Fighters, would conduct some kind of Illuminati blood sacrifice of a friend of his, Taylor Hawkins, for fame and fortune. But, to play devil's advocate, no pun intended, why would he need to do that? They're already very much rich and famous. So we're going to get into all this today. And all of this started because I'm recording this on Saturday, March 26th, and Taylor Hawkins died Friday, March 25th, okay? And I saw the death, as I do, right? I frequent the tabloid articles and such, and I thought, well, that seems really bizarre because they've been all over the news the last year or so. They've been all over the place. And this guy's pretty young. He's 50. And, at first I didn't see anything worth, anything real suspicious. And then I was on Instagram reading your comments, as I do. And El Guapo 1991 on the Instagram left a comment asking if I was going to talk about this. And I wasn't at the time because I was waiting to see if there was something more. Now, I knew that Studio 666, a movie starring the Foo Fighters, was out. I haven't seen it, though. And I feel like looking at the movie poster for that film, you kind of know what it's about. It's going to be some kind of Evil Dead-esque horror comedy sort of thing, which, look, not up my alley. I love horror movies, but when you mix the comedy with it, you completely lose me with it. It's like eating cereal with beer or something. You know what I mean? Anyway. I told El Guapo 1991, I said, no, I wasn't. But then I said, wait a minute. Because El Guapo said that the Foo Fighters had just done the Universal Hexagram symbol. And I said, what? So here we go. that started me down the rabbit hole. And sure enough, because as you know, I frequent the hip hop. I don't really listen to rock much anymore. I listen to my 90s rock, right? I love it. I love 90s rock. I listen to that often, or even 80s rock is great. And 70s, 60s, all the rock, you know, I like all the rock. 2000s, when it got into the divorced dad rock, is when I tapped out and I was like, okay, rock's kind of dead. But let's go back in time here. The Taylor Hawkins, right? He was in the Foo Fighters, right? But the Foo Fighters, you got to go back to the early 90s. And this is all up my alley. I was born 79, so this is premium Gen X grunge era 90s discussion. Nirvana, one of the greatest bands of all time. You know who they are. Well, Dave Grohl, of course, was the drummer. And then Kurt Cobain, quote unquote, killed himself. And I put it in quotes because I don't know that I believe that entirely. The guy who was investigating it, the private investigator, made a doc. There was a documentary. I don't remember which one. And it seemed super shady. I'm not going to make allegations, but you already know who they alleged did it. I don't know if it's true. It sure seemed weird, though. So Cobain kills himself. And Dave Grohl, the drummer from the Foo Fighters, the drummer from Nirvana, started a new band called Foo Fighters, which was originally supposed to be an anonymous band. Like, you wouldn't know who was really in it. That was the original concept. And Dave Grohl, of course, is very much interested in UFOs. So the idea of Foo Fighters comes from World War II, when the Allied versus the Axis superpowers there. And the U.S. pilots saw a lot of strange UFOs flying around, so they called them Foo Fighters. So Taylor Hawkins, right? He joins the Foo Fighters because, from what I understand, the first Foo Fighters album was done entirely by Dave Grohl. I think he did the instruments and everything, because he can play all the instruments, apparently. But then he did a second album, and that's when he got a band together. And that included Taylor Hawkins. So he was basically the drummer for the Foo Fighters, for all intents and purposes, the whole time. And ironically, Dave Grohl got him from Alanis Morissette, of all people. Right? Did you catch the pun there, ironically? Yeah, anyway. I know, it's like dad joke 90s hour here. So Taylor Hawkins, he, of course, found great success with the Foo Fighters over the years. And they keep cranking out albums. I liked a lot of their early stuff, even their early 2000s stuff. But like I said, rock's not really my thing so much anymore, so I don't stay too frequent with it. But he founded a super group called NHC, which stands for Navarro, Hawkins, and Cheney, with none other than my friend, Dave Navarro. That's right, my friend. It also had Jane's Addiction member Chris Cheney as well. And Hawkins was the singer of this supergroup, NHC. And this all just started last year, right? And this poor guy, Dave Navarro, man. Oh, my God. He's lost so many people in his life. His mother, Scott Whelan from Stone Temple Pilots, Chris Cornell from Soundgarden. I really do feel bad for the guy. If you've ever seen he's got a documentary about the passing of his mother. That's really worth checking out. Anyhow, you've heard me talk about him before because I was on a show twice, right? Remember that? And then he said, you know what? We're friends now, and I've been flexing on that ever since. I'm going to put it on my tombstone, I'm pretty sure. Could be the coolest thing that ever happened to me. So anyhow, and we're going to come back to Navarro. He's not done yet. I'm not letting him off the hook quite yet. Now, the Foo Fighters. Without going into a full comprehensive history of the group, because, again, they kind of fell off my radar 15 years ago. They've been on the fringes of this conspiracy political realm that I don't really get into much. I'm more occult symbolism, occult religions, films, music, and movies, right? But every now and then we'll get it. I pay attention a little bit, right? So they were on these strange fringes recently. They played the inauguration for President Joe Biden. They were one of the first bands to be vocal about requiring the VACCINEs for their concerts. I'm not saying the word because everyone's itching to ban me off of everything, as you know. They had a flop of a concert after the Super Bowl. They did a concert in Zuckerberg's metaverse, and apparently it was real garbagey. I think it was a technology glitch thing. We talked about it on my Super Bowl symbolism show, if you heard that. And they recently got inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame just last year, not just a few months ago. So they really, 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 really seem like they're playing ball with the man, quote unquote, the man. What's going on here? Now, fun fact, during that Super Bowl, or I'm sorry, during the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame performance, I believe it was, I posted an image of them, the Foo Fighters, and Hawkins was wearing a Dual Diagnosis shirt, which is Dave Navarro and a collective of artists. They made these Dual Diagnosis shirts, and I own one of them, right? It's a very expensive, very nice shirt. It's very soft. It's one of the best shirts I own. And I posted that Hawkins was wearing my shirt because it's the same shirt I own. And I accidentally made the implication that it was the shirt I made, which was completely not true. So I had to do a little apology tour for that. So big mistake there. Poor choice of wording. But anyhow. So, okay. So that's the basics of who the Foo Fighters are and who Taylor Hawkins was, right? That's lots of interesting stuff. But now let's talk about the weird stuff. This is what you came for. Things get really, really weird here. And when we find out the Foo Fighters, they dropped an album last year under a pseudonym band name of the DGs called Hail Satan. I'm going to say that again. The Foo Fighters had a pseudonym alternate alias band that just released an album called Hail Satan last year. All right. Now, a lot of people would dismiss pretty much that and everything I'm going to say today as, well, this is all satanic panic. They're using it as a way of being controversial and a way of getting interest. And you know, it's a tale as old as time. Rockers using this dark imagery to evoke a certain feeling, which I get, right? Except the Foo Fighters aren't really one of those kinds of bands. They're very mainstream. They're very pop. There's not a lot of satanic symbolism, as far as I know, in their music. This is a very recent turn of styles for them. And they've been hitting it hard and heavy. I mean, this is all within the last 6 to 12 months this stuff's been happening. Then, not even a month ago, they released this comedy horror movie in the theaters called Studio 666. Now, as I alluded to at the beginning of the show, I've not seen it. It's not up my alley. I have no intentions of seeing it because I'm very anti-comedy horror. I don't know who needs to hear this, but please stop doing that. Either make a comedy or make a horror movie or make a comedy movie that's got horror elements, but insist on calling it a comedy, please, because I don't like the two worlds colliding. Shaun of the Dead, cool, great movie. Not a horror movie. There's no horror element in there worth tainting it, if you know what I mean. I like my horror to make me feel uneasy. And when you have too much cathartic laughter in there, you're ruining the whole vibe. Why bother? Now it's just a comedy movie. Anyhow, let's read. I'm going to read you, because I haven't seen it yet. I will be watching it now, though. It's in the theaters. I'm going to read you from Wikipedia's description of the movie, so you don't think I'm making anything up. In the film, the Foo Fighters attempt to record an album in a haunted mansion. Grohl is possessed by a demonic spirit, and the band members are killed off one by one. It was filmed in the same mansion in which the Foo Fighters had recorded Medicine at Midnight. Studio 666 received mixed reviews and performed poorly in its opening week, because they weren't listening to me, I think. You don't mix comedy and horror. Anyhow, an album of songs relating to the movie was released by the band on March 25th, 2022, entitled Dream Widow, presented as the self-titled debut from the fictional band portrayed in the film. The album is a collection of thrash and speed metal songs. Now, there's a lot to unpack here. First off, let's look at, because I'm going to argue to you that this is predictive programming, that Dave Grohl was in fact possessed by a demonic spirit in real life, and that dark passenger was responsible for the death of his friend. That's what I'm going to throw out as a theory, just an opinion, just a theory. I don't know any of this to be true. I just have this filtered lens of spirituality and the arts and how the two worlds collide, and sometimes bad things happen. That's all I'm trying to say. All right. Now, this movie was, they say that it's filmed in the same mansion that they recorded this album called Medicine at Midnight. Let's talk about that for a minute. If you look at the album cover, it's full of the all-seeing eye symbolism, right? That all-seeing eye is, of course, the thing that references the Luciferian Enlightenment. All right. Now, I'm going to read to you from Wikipedia again. The album was recorded in a large old house from the 1940s in Encino, Los Angeles. Recording sessions proceeded quickly, something Grohl attributed to two things: that the material was progressing quickly, and that they were recording in an environment where strange things kept happening. Here's Dave Grohl, and I quote, "I knew the vibes were definitely off, but the sound was effing on." Keeping it censored for my safer work folks there, okay? We would come back to the studio the next day, and all of the guitars would be detuned, or the setting we'd put on the mixing board, all of them had gone back to zero. We would open up a Pro Tools session, and the tracks would be missing. There were some tracks that were put on there that we didn't put on there, but just like weird open mic noises. Nobody playing an instrument or anything like that. Just an open mic recording a room. All right. Now here's where it gets even weirder. It says, Grohl noted that they captured unexplainable footage on video, but due to a non-disclosure agreement with the house's owner, who was attempting to sell the property, the footage cannot be shown. Contrary to the Concrete and Gold sessions, which frequently ended in nights of large cookouts, drinking, and parties, the sessions were wrapped up as quickly as possible. In February 2020, Grohl confirmed the album was finished. Now, that's all very strange, right? Some paranormal activity. And if you listen to my two-part Brittany Murphy show, you'll know that when these celebrities see these dark spirits, because I would argue that these artists, they're in touch with a different realm sometimes, right? They're on a different wavelength sometimes. So for them to experience paranormal activity, I would suggest that's indicative of paranormal entities. And in fact, they've got a track on there called Making a Fire, which instantly reminded me of the Beach Boys, because I discussed, oh, which book did I wrote so many books. I wrote 9 books. One of them, I talked about the Beach Boys and the track Fire. I think it was in the Star Wars conspiracy book. I don't remember. It doesn't matter. Well, the Beach Boys, they recorded a song called Fire, and Dennis Wilson got spooked by it because right next door, a building burned down right after they recorded the track. And he went on record saying that he thought that the track and the album caused that fire because it was witchcraft music. That's what he said. And of course, you know, the Beach Boys tie right into Charles Manson, and, you know, then it takes off to all kinds of wild conspiracy talk, right? But let's stay with the Foo Fighters. Dave Grohl was on Howard Stern, and he said this: "The premise of the movie is that we move into this house. I have writer's block, and I'm totally uninspired. I can't come up with anything. And I wind up finding this creepy basement. And I go into the basement, and I find this tape by a band from 25 years ago that was recorded there. And there's this song that, if recorded and completed, the effing demon in the house is unleashed, and then, whatever, all hell breaks loose." Now, it sounds a lot like Evil Dead when they find the Necronomicon, right? But the argument is that there's a connection between the spirit world and the creativity world. And I talked about this extensively in The Dark Path and also in my recent Alien, UFOs, and the Occult books that I wrote. The idea that there's a mental plane, an astral plane that can be connected from this world to the next. And in there lies the seat of creativity. And a lot of people bought into this idea. Carl Jung and Aleister Crowley, they all talked about tapping into this dark side because that's where the creativity resides. Kenneth Grant infamously called it the Mauv Zone. Kenneth Grant, of course, an acolyte of Aleister Crowley, who we're going to talk about real soon. So let's keep it moving. Now, March 25th is the day that Taylor Hawkins dies. Yesterday, Friday, March 25th. It's also the same day that David Grohl dropped a new death metal album called Dream Widow. This is the album that accompanies the film Studio 666. And here's where the rabbit hole for me, this was my entry point because someone told me there was a Unicrystal hexagram. And sure enough, right on the album cover for Dream Widow, a massive Unicrystal hexagram, which is like a six-pointed star. And even weirder, the album was released on Dave Grohl's RCA imprint called Roswell RCA because, you know, Dave Grohl's into the UFOs. Now, let's talk about the Unicrystal hexagram. In case you don't know what it means or what significance it has, it's the Aleister Crowley symbol. We see it tattooed on Dave Navarro's elbows, right? We see it used by the band Tool. We saw it on The Dirt, the Motley Crue film on Netflix, if you look very closely. I think I shared the image on my Instagram many years ago when that film came out. Well, not many years ago. What was that, 2 years ago? It's on some of the band's speakers. Just there in plain sight for no reason. It's all over the place if you know what you're looking for. We saw it when we did an analysis of Lil Nas X's video for Montero. You know, the one everyone was obsessed with, the, oh my God, he's a gay man twerking on Satan. Oh, they're all worried about that. But we were talking about the hidden symbols carved on the tree of the Unicrystal hexagram, because it's right there if you know what you're looking for. This is a symbol utilized by Aleister Crowley, of course, a very famous occultist, very bad boy, and it referred to the realm of magic. Again, the same idea that this world's connected to another, and these magicians can use all sorts of techniques to cause changes in our universe. And followers of Crowley's religion called Thelema, which means the will, they use this symbol. They use the ritual magic to shape the universe according to their desires. And the symbol represents a pentagram with an inner five-petaled flower. And the 5 points correspond to the earth, fire, air, water, and spirit, which represent the microcosm. While the hexagram symbolizes the macrocosm. This is the universe. This is the source of divine powers. This is the one the magic practitioner makes contact. He calls upon the macrocosm to change the world from the microcosm. And if all that magic talk seems crazy, I would refer you to read my book, The Dark Path, or even Sacrifice Magic Behind the Mic. We talked about the hip-hop and ritual magic and stuff. Now, this album, let me get the name of it again. I lost it. Dream Widow, right? This album, it features some more occult, demonic type elements. It's got the lyrics of worship. It says, worship the unholy spirit, pray to the god of the dead. So what's really going on here? To wrap up this conversation, in conclusion, and like I said, this is part one. There might be a part two here someday once more information is released. Like, how did Taylor Hawkins die? He was relatively young. He was only 50. And it's very arguable he got a hold of, if he was doing drugs, I don't know that he was, but if he was, maybe he just got some fentanyl, which is rampant now. He had apparently overdosed on heroin in August 2001, so it's possible, right? I don't know that, though. I have no idea. But Hawkins wasn't above all this weird embracing of satanic elements. It's not all Dave Grohl that's into it. The whole band apparently was, because he had a side project album called The Birds of Satan. And one of the songs is called See You in Hell. Are these guys predictively programming satanic elements into their lives? He was in, when he died, he was in South America. There was a concert they were doing at the, in Colombia, at the Casa Medina. And I don't know if this is related, but I'm going to throw it out there anyway. Medina, because I wanted to do a little research on what that was, is actually the name of a massive city in Saudi Arabia where Muhammad established Islam and where his body is entombed. And it used to be called the Luminous City or the Enlightened City. So it could be, right? It could be some weird connection there if you want to get real, you know, ritualistic, symbolic elements of, you know, getting the ritual right of where you conduct the sacrifice, maybe, right? And I'm also pretty sure that if you look at the cover art for Jedi Mind Tricks, Visions of Gandhi, an insanely great rap album, I'm pretty sure that's the Medina. Anyhow, I think that there's more to come on this story. I think there's going to be more to come. I think these guys were only recently really embracing a lot of this dark stuff. And like I argue in my alien books, there's a fine line between aliens and demons, Satan. Dave Grohl and the Foo Fighters, they were clearly into UFOs for many years. He, in the movie, well, okay, let's talk about the movie for a second. I gotta, and what I'm arguing is that they're putting together a lot of satanic imagery out there, right? And I haven't seen Studio 666 yet, but oh, I will. Oh, yes, I will. So stay subscribed to hear more on that when I watch it. But apparently the plot, and again, there's going to be plot spoilers here, so skip at least, I don't know, 20 seconds if you care, right? I'm going to start it now. But apparently the plot includes Dave Grohl's character eating humans. So there's the cannibalistic element that we're going to talk about for the movie Fresh real soon. And even Dave Grohl killing Hawkins, his character, after he's done doing some work for him. And shout out to Spry Ute on the Twitter. Apparently Hawkins was originally supposed to be crucified in this movie. And they didn't. They ended up just slicing his head off with a cymbal. And then, you know, cymbal like a drum cymbal, C-Y-M-B-A-L. And in the end of the movie, Dave Grohl becomes a very successful solo act. He completes the Faustian bargain after he does the blood sacrifice, and he gets a demonic spirit to possess him and lead him to fame and fortune. Fun fact, John Carpenter apparently makes a cameo in the film, so I'm real excited for that. But yeah, I mean, how close to reality are these things? The thing about the, you know, the cannibalistic idea, we've seen a lot of conspiracy theories floating around about certain people being into this stuff, and it seems like in the last year they've been hobnobbing with some of these people, right? Very strange activity. Now, I don't know that they're connected. Clearly, I don't. How would I know? Seems like a very unfortunate passing. Seems very tragic. I don't know what to make of it yet. You know, rest in peace, Taylor Hawkins. All the people who were friends and family, him. I hate to talk about these kinds of things so soon. I just think that in some ways, and you know, this is my Christian warrior, my Christian soldier vibes. I feel like when you make light of this satanic imagery and this satanic symbolism, and you think, oh, I'm just doing this for fun, I'm just doing this to get a rise out of people, I feel like you're in fact drawing in some dark energies to your life. As is evident from the mansion they were recording their album in, that they then recorded the movie in, that featured a plot line that arguably could have played out in real life. So there you go. Stay subscribed to my channel for more updates when I finally watch this film. Also, because this is an emergency broadcast over the weekend, I got yard work to do. I got things to do. It's warming up. I got to get outside. I've got something else for you. Check out on Monday on the free feed. I'm dropping the Spring Breakers podcast. This is a big event in my life. It took me a long time to finally put this together. Well, long, long story short, I had problems with YouTube because usually my tier 2 and up supporters, they get video versions of the podcast, and I put them on YouTube as private unlisted videos. Well, they had so many problems. I uploaded many versions of this thing. They hated all of them. They blocked all of them. So I thought, you know what? I'm just going to put it on my Rockfin channel because they're cool over there, right? They know my videos are in fair use for analytical purposes and commentary. Well, I made it free. And it's only for like the week, right? So I'm going to put a link in the show notes. If you go to my Rockfin post, you might have to create a free account. I don't know. You don't need to pay any money to watch this, I promise you. In fact, I'll just leave it up for free forever. Screw it. Last minute change. In case you're listening to the show 3 weeks from now, I want you to check this out. You go to my Rockfin post and link in the show notes. You might have to make an account, but you do not have to pay anything for it. Watch the video version of the podcast for Spring Breakers. And see what you think. See if you like it. Leave a comment. I got tips. Rockfin's got a tip capability. I got, as of right now, $105 in tips. Good night. Thank you, Evan Gill and Emily. Appreciate it. You don't need a tip. I appreciate that, though. Thank you. So check that out. And until next time, stay woke.